Hi, this is Luke.
And this is Tobin from Quest Research.
Hey, Tobin, what do you get when four guys with absolutely no video experience whatsoever decide to produce their own online paranormal TV show?
I don't know. What? Oh, wait. I do know. Ghost Diaries, right?
That's right.
You can check us out and get involved at www.questresearch.net. And the good thing about being new is that you will only get better.
Hey, Scott O. I just want to thank you for this sweet Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash on my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Ghostly Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1 1/4-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1 1/4-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
Power Hub Radio.
The Internet's only rock and roll paranormal extravaganza.
Special guest with us, Robbie Thomas, psychic medium.
Where is the Lawrence House?
It's in Ontario, Canada. It is a house that was owned by a shipbuilder, and it was haunted. The tools of the trade back then were baby powder. The reason being is I could see, and the kids with me couldn't, so I figured if I threw the baby powder in the air as the spirit was walking through, it would cover it, and then they could say, oh, we see it now. The next tool was a flashlight, so we knew where we were going, and a rope, so we could tie it around so we don't get taken away by the spirit. So that
hey,
was me.
Isn't that what your last girlfriend said?
that's just a Friday night for Anthony. Baby powder, a rope, and a flashlight.
Para Hub Radio, Thursdays 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern, on Bounce Radio and parahub.org.
Shadow government, strange rituals, new world
shadow
order,
governments, strange
buried treasures, planetary mind control, military
corruption, shadow governments, strange rituals, new world order, buried treasures, planetary mind control, military corruption, corporate interests,
out there.
Out there. It's a strange world.
Visit outthereradio.net for more information.
Listening to Ghostly Talk.
All right, I got the weirdest thing to tell you, Doug.
Okay.
Doug and what? Shannon and Paul.
Hi.
All right, so check
what
this out.
What could possibly happen?
Well, we went to break, right?
Yeah.
And it's raining right now.
Oh, it's storming. I mean,
yeah.
Thunder, lightning, etc.
Yeah. So, okay, we get done. We talked with you guys for a couple seconds when we went on break, and we hopped off, went and refilled our water cups or our soft drinks or whatever we're having here. And you know, I'm like, you know, I've been cranking down the ice water like nonstop all
and
day.
And I noticed
so,
that I have earphone hair.
Earphone hair. Yes, oh yeah, you got the headphone hair. Yeah, I used to get that.
Headphone hair. Yes, that's what I have.
So okay, all the water I've been drinking, hit the bathroom real quick, right?
Good idea.
Just for a pit stop, come back here and get back on the show. So I go in there and I, you know, do my business, right? And I flush the toilet at the exact same, and I didn't realize this at the time, though, right? At the exact same time, I flush the toilet, a big roll of thunder comes through. So I flush, and I just hear, and the whole, like, everything, and I'm like, Oh my God!
I mean, major, like a crocodile's gonna come up out of the sewer.
There's an anaconda's jammed in there or something. So, and I'm thinking, oh my, you know, I didn't think like, that power. No, I'm thinking like major plumbing problems here. You know, oh my God, this is gonna cost $10,000 to fix this.
And it's gonna take 6 weeks.
But I'm like, I kind of was like walking in circles for like, oh my God, what's going on? And I look at the window and I'm like, oh my God, it's, you know, I realized it was the thunder, but I just thought it was like hysterical.
Just the storm.
Chupacabras, before we went to break, we were talking with Paul about a gentleman who that believed he was a that you interviewed, Paul, that believed he was a chupacabra. And we kind of, you know, before we went to break, we kind of talked about the highs and lows of this. And, you know, before we left, Doug kind of left it with, you know, did you believe this guy? Did you really believe what he had
to say?
No,
not did he believe him, but did the guy appear to believe himself?
And okay, yeah.
Because I use that as a measuring stick as to somebody's story. I mean, I try to gauge whether somebody's acting, you know, and or if they're really deep down convinced to themselves that what they're saying
is true. And we have
seen
people act before. You
know, yes.
Well, it's almost like if you're asking, let's say, author David Icke. David Icke, is he crazy or does he really believe that there's reptilian humanoids out there on a worldwide conspiracy to manipulate and control the Earth?
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's sort of that type of person. I mean, I listening to a person, let's say, like David Icke, who thinks that William Jefferson Clinton and Hillary and George Bush, that they're related to these 7-foot-tall, blood-drinking reptilians. I mean, David Icke is a very intelligent person, but he actually believes that. And then there's another person who was like Christine Fitzgerald. She was the confidant of Diana, the Princess of Wales, and she claims that Diana told her that the royal family were reptilian aliens and that they
To be fair, there was probably a point in Diana's life where she probably really believed that. I mean, there was the whole divorce thing.
Are all these people crazy or what? I mean, you know, and since I've been working with HPI, I interview everybody. I mean, I'm not going to turn down anybody. I mean, I've interviewed three women who claim they're werewolves. I've interviewed this guy who thinks he's a chupacabra. I've interviewed vampires. I've interviewed witches, and I've interviewed
Zombie?
Get
Pete the zombie.
You gotta wait, hold up. You interviewed a zombie.
A zombie.
Dead Pete the zombie.
Dead Pete the zombie.
Now what?
Talk zombie.
I was gonna say, like, that must have been a really slow interview, man.
He was decaying, but he was pretty
so
hot.
How'd you become a zombie?
What's so funny is when I was running away from him, he couldn't catch up with me. You know,
I was
kind of like running circles around him.
Oh my God, that's a dork.
I'm serious. Wow. There are people who actually believe in this stuff. I mean, Jeff Pete the Zombie, he was another person. I met him in Starbucks, and I looked inside, and this guy, and I swear, but this guy had lesions all over his arms. I was not going to go over there and meet him, and maybe he might accidentally touch me, and whatever he has might be contagious. So, but I interviewed them over the telephone. I told him I had an emergency investigation. I had to go. But he basically told me that he went on vacation in Haiti. He was dating some girl. He, you know, she fell in love with him. He messed around with some other girl. She found out about it and told her Shaman's father. The father confronted him in a nightclub, injected him with some kind of drug. He became a zombie, became a slave, and somehow he got out of it. Came back to the United States, and he still has these lesions on his arms, and that's his story. He actually believes he was a zombie.
It's all a go on the West Coast.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, it's boring over here on the East Coast.
All I ever meet are people who think they're.
Hey, look at this orb.
Yeah, we need that. We pretty much everybody we meet is a demonologist nowadays. Which is really fascinating because
you guys got zombies and chupacabra people and all kinds of weird stuff going on over there.
Yeah, we get a lot of calls on demon with regard to demonology, people saying that. In fact, Jen and myself, I'm not going to say any names, but we went to a private home.
Yeah.
And the lady was very nonchalant. She was sitting there. She had a home that was decorated and looked like my grandma's home. That's how beautiful and immaculate it was. But anyway, she had her legs crossed, and she was very calm, drinking her tea, and she said that she was repeatedly raped by an incubus. Well, the only thing is, being in CI Criminal Investigation Division in the Army, I've seen a rape victim actually interviewed, and this is something that happened 3 years prior, and there was still trauma in her voice, and at some point, she started crying as she started talking about rape. So here, this woman who is repeatedly raped by an incubus is very calm and mellow while telling us this story. So that tells me right there, it says some kind of deception.
Paul, we're losing you a little bit, man.
He came back.
Okay, you came back. We lost you just a little bit there,
man. It was just fading in and out.
Okay, where did you lose me at?
Just a second ago. It was just like maybe one sentence we lost.
Oh, okay. Where I was talking about the lady, she was very calm.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Her demeanor was calm. And she was drinking her tea and explained to us how she's repeatedly raped by an incubus.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is, there's this calmness about her. And actually interviewing a person who was raped while I was in the service, when I was with a military policeman, I saw that this rape happened 3 years prior, but there was trauma in her voice, she was crying,
mm-hmm.
and she was very upset about it. And through this woman, she's showing me some type of sign of deception because she's in there very calm and telling this story how she's repeatedly raped by an incubus. So those kind of stories would kind of blow away, but there's other stories where people are very consistent, like the Chupacabra guy, and of course he didn't have any proof that he was a Chupacabra, but I just recently interviewed a gentleman who says that he was abducted by UFOs and he has an implant, and he actually showed me what the implant was.
Mm-hmm.
So those aren't the stories that I seek.
Well, gee, again, I don't even know what to say about that, because I never will. I mean, the zombie story, you shut me down with the zombie thing, all right?
Yeah, that pretty much has me.
Yeah, I mean, because I've never, I mean... No.
I mean, it's feasible, but you know what? That sounds totally, like...
Well, couldn't it be something else? You said... Let me analyze it.
Or too neatly wrapped up in a package to be true, you know?
Well,
I mean?
Yeah, but, like, okay, you said the guy had lesions all over his arms, a zombie guy, right?
Right.
Okay, and they were. I mean, now it's what happened.
Don't forget, he was poked by a needle.
Yeah, well, he was poked by a needle. You didn't even stay to talk to this guy personally. You saw him and said, "This is creepy. I'm out of here." Right. So you talked to him on the phone, but you did get to see his arms, and they were all torn up. I'm wondering if he had some type of skin disease or something like. I mean, I'm not doubting your story at all, Paul, whatsoever. But I'm wondering, this guy's making this claim where he might have actually gotten like leprosy or something. Possibly
HIV.
Well,
even worse.
If he was down in a foreign country just, going to town with all these girls and stuff, I mean, come on, he met the one, they liked each other, they had some fun, and then he met another, and then the one got jealous, and I mean, that's absolutely believable, and then he probably just, went on and partied the whole entire week, and
You would be absolutely surprised at some of the emails that Shannon and myself get. I mean, we get emails from people making all types of claims. And I'm a type of person, I will pursue it just to find out what the story is.
Uh-huh.
And if there is any credible evidence, I mean, I really will embrace that. But most of the people that I have interviewed have not really shown me any credible evidence. I can't say lesions on the arm makes you a zombie. I mean, I should have known something when he called himself Mr. Shanker. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Boy, oh boy.
Just joking. But anyway, we do meet some very unusual people. Now, we are in the process right now of interviewing one gentleman, and it seems like he does have a credible story because it seems like there's several witnesses to the UFO. And he says he's been in a series of abductions. He was able to actually show me something that was very unusual. He showed me where the implant was, which is on his right leg above his leg bone. And I was able to actually touch it, move it around, and it would reposition itself over the leg bone. And it's just a very small, round object. So I thought that was very, very unusual. Plus, there was no entry wounds showing any kind of shrapnel or anything that went into his, lodged into his leg.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was unusual, too. So we are going to continue with this interview process with him,
mm-hmm.
and see if we can also, too, get him to a certified hypnotist that we have on board and see what we can do in, let's say, regressive hypnosis.
That would be interesting.
That sounds so fascinating.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see what would happen.
I mean, that's
that.
The kind of thing. As a matter of fact, Paul, I'm one of the things that I'm doing, last year for me was Bigfoot year, right? I went Bigfoot hunting out in New York. This year is Alien Year and UFO Year. So what I'm doing to celebrate UFO and Alien Year of Doug is because I just sort of name
each
year.
Yeah, I like how you make your own holidays.
And I just go for
that
it.
That are a year long.
Yeah, they're my year-long holidays.
Yeah.
This is UFO and Alien Year.
And this is news to me, people.
And what what I'm doing this year is I'm going... I guess I am at, I don't know how this is going to work, the Alien Festival in Roswell, New Mexico.
Yeah, yeah.
So I expect to see plenty of implants and things like that. So I just can't wait for it. So this is... No, not that kind of implant. No. Bad.
Woo! It's Shannon's fault. I came into this interview with a clear head. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a professional. And, Shannon, I'm blaming you. I'm sorry, honey.
It's all good.
And I thought you guys were talking about my last date because she had a couple of implants, but I wasn't complaining.
So we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Excellent. You said it, Doug. All right.
I know. I said I'm expecting to see.
I'm looking at you guys. You guys are really cute.
Oh God.
Thank you, Shannon.
I'm not talking about you. I've seen your ugly mug. I'm talking about Doug and Scott.
Oh, you should go see the new photos.
Have you?
I'm looking at the nude photos.
No,
none of the
nude.
Oh my God.
No, those are in the private album. No, I mean the on Satan's website, which is myspace.com.
Well, we only put the one up.
Oh, yeah, Satan's site. I'll get over there.
I just put up a series of photos from last weekend.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Oh, cool. I'm
Toronto.
On it.
Toronto.
Okay, yeah. But no, okay, how the heck do we get here?
I have no idea.
We're exchanging photos on the show.
Yeah.
You know what? I have some really interesting news for you if you want it.
What's that?
I just remembered, you guys, you're in Michigan, right?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I just opened up a branch of HPI in Michigan.
Oh, really? Awesome.
Yeah, Mom.
Do you know where the branch is at? Is
it's in Ionia?
Oh, that's
Ionia?
That's a hike.
Where's that from? Do you know where that's at from?
Ionia is like up in here.
Oh, it's in the northern part of the state.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, her name's Tanya Douglas. She just opened up her first branch at HPI in Michigan.
Oh, excellent.
Wow. Well,
yeah. What's that?
Congratulations. I mean,
Thank you.
It sounds fantastic.
You've infiltrated our state.
Yes, you finally got to Michigan.
Yeah, we're going to get everybody now.
Yeah.
Next up is Utah. I can't wait to take over the Mormons.
we need a branch in Amsterdam. That's what we need.
Oh, my God. We totally need a branch in Amsterdam. I don't even really need a reason to go over there, trust me.
I want HPI Australia.
Totally. Yeah. We'll go HPI Outback.
Yes,
or
exactly.
HPI Rio de Janeiro.
HPI Hawaii.
Hey. I need to lose a few pounds before I do the De Janeiro thing.
This is worse than Austin Powers, I'm telling you.
If you do the De Janeiro, are you like, if you go to Rio de Janeiro, is there like any chance you might get stuck by one of these zombie needles or something?
Hopefully.
I'm trying to stay away from those areas for a while.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with that.
I actually went to Rio de Janeiro, and that blew my mind. That place is something else. When I came back, it was a culture shock because the things that were happening to me in Brazil don't happen to me here in California.
What, like women talking to you?
No.
Ba-dum-bum.
Now the insults start.
I heard like gasoline is like 75 cents a gallon in South America.
I think it's 15 cents a gallon.
Oh, that's it.
That's what I heard, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get into that. I don't even want to get into that because I will be ranting for days.
Oh my God! Don't get me started. Either. I'm
ready to go. How much in Brazil?
But I thought 75, but she's right. It might be 15.
No.
Argentina is 12 cents a gallon.
12 cents a gallon.
Then that's what I heard. Was that just like on the news or something like that?
Yeah,
you sure that isn't feed or something like that for the horses?
Feed.
Because
feed's only 12 cents in Argentina.
Does the word gas or something mean something else?
Yeah,
I mean, like, is it, you know?
We only got a couple seconds here, and Paul.
I hate that.
I know.
We always trail off, don't we?
Well, we're always having a good. We're having a good time.
Yeah.
It's all right. But Paul, you're up. Go ahead, Paul.
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
Are you guys going to go see the X-Files movie, the new X-Files, I Want to Believe?
As a matter of fact, I have already planned who I'm going to see it with, yes.
I am dying to see that movie.
When's it come out officially?
Huh?
When does it come out officially?
Yeah, it's supposed to come out, I think, like a week or so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And, you know, Shannon and myself, we're always on the cell phone. I mean, we are the Mulder and Scully of HPI. I mean, we're constantly updating each other. Okay, I'm doing this. I'm over at the – Shannon will say, I'm over at the Winchester Mystery House, and I'm doing this.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, I'm over in Volcano, and I'm checking out this haunted hotel, and I'm doing this. I mean, we're constantly keeping ourselves, you know, informed of what's going on. So, so we're always on the road.
Well, that's good.
I'll go with you to see the movie, but you have to buy the, you have to pay for me to get in, you have to drive me there, and you have to fill me with Raisinets. I'll go, though.
It sounds like they're all set now to go see that movie.
It's good to see people that are, you know, I mean, in all seriousness, too, Paul and Shannon. I mean, you know, there is this communication.
I'm only going to think of them two now when I'm watching the movie.
I know, it's going to be, You're just going to see their faces on
that. Yeah, it's just going to be them up there for the movie. They might as well have
David,
the movie.
David and company, you're just going to see Paul's face
Paul,
on the set.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, I mean, in all seriousness, though, I mean, you guys, you mentioned this, that you guys are always on the phone with each other. You guys are always communicating, you know, the stuff you guys are doing, it sounds like, you know, within the paranormal. I think that's a really cool thing. You know, some people, they do this, it's a hobby, right? It's a weekend thing for them. Some people, like us, I mean, the ghostly talk and paranormal research, I mean, this is something, you know.
It's our passion.
We still talk every day, you know, and it's usually, you know, either it's paranormal or ghostly talk related stuff. And we're always communicating because there's always something going on. There's always something to do, whether it's with the show or in the paranormal, right? And I like to see teams do that. Some people, like I said, they do the weekend thing, and that's cool. And I guess it's just a matter of preference.
I often call them up and say, is your refrigerator running?
Yeah. And I go, no. Or yeah.
Yeah, and I say, well, you better catch it.
Yeah. And he hangs up on me laughing.
Running out the door to get that thing.
You guys, it has been an absolute pleasure. Your website is www.hpiparanormal.net.
Yes.
And there's links to the Ghost Girls stuff up there, right? I mean,
and it's good. Ghostgirls.net also.
That's so easy to remember.
There we go,
And that's your upcoming project where it's going to be on, I didn't write it down. What website?
It's definitely going on Ghost Channel TV.
Ghost Channel TV.
It's gone down to our agent down in L.A. who is hopefully going to be able to hook us up somewhere else down there.
Cross
your fingers, kids.
I am pulling for you. Ghost Girls on
Go to Channel TV.
Yep.
Check that out. Great having you guys. Thank you so
and
much for
Paul.
Joining us.
Okay. Paul, was it horrible, Paul?
Did you have a good time, Paul?
Oh, I had a great time.
Excellent.
A great time, yeah.
Good. Excellent. That's what we want you to have.
No
here,
longer
you know.
A GT version.
People.
I know, I said I would.
That's a great time. I have to change my shorts right now.
There you go. It worked. We had a great hour.
But,
you got drilled and it didn't even hurt.
You have to put a PG-13 on this episode.
I think that's a good idea.
Hang tight for 1 second, guys. Don't leave us just yet. Stay on the line for 1 second.
Yeah, I
got to
go see about those implants. www.hpiparanormal.net. Thank you, Shannon.
It was great talking to those guys.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Coming up next.
Hang on the line,
though.
Hang
on the line. Don't leave us just yet. Coming up next, though, we're going to be talking to Thomas D'Agostino, who has been on the show also. He's a non-virgin, too. Got all kinds of things we're going to be talking to him about.
I don't know if he wants
also.
To be called that, but sure.
Yeah, well, he's not here. here
going,
yet.
So we're going from the West Coast.
Over to the East Coast. Yeah, this is like we're covering the whole country.
In the next hour. So everybody, absolutely, stay tuned. We'll head over to the East Coast. We'll get that all hooked up for you and talk about New England.
Ghostly Talk!
Interested in ghosts, UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
Welcome to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio. Paranormal News is produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. I'm your host, Bonnie Vance. Paranormal News is sponsored by the new ebook, Is My House Haunted? A Practical Guide. Have you ever asked yourself the question, is my house haunted? Looking for a do-it-yourself way to find the answers? This ebook walks you through all the basics. There are also forms that you can fill out to log the activity and your experiences. Is privacy important to you? This new ebook is delivered directly into your email inbox. Receive it within 24 hours of payment, and there are no shipping charges. The easy-to-use forms can be very useful in determining any trends in the activity. For more information, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and look for Is My House Haunted? A Practical Guide. Our first story comes from GoldCoast.com. Here's a story for bat lovers like me. The multi-million dollar redevelopment of the Dracula's Theater in Broad Beach is going according to plan, but they're worried that some small things may not return to normal. Bats used to be seen circling above the theater at night, which gave passers-by the ghoulish image of a real haunted house. They used to put trays of fruit on the roof to attract the bats. What, no blood? Once the bats got used to the surrounds, they would hover and swoop in at night, and it really did add to the look of the old haunted house. With all the construction going on around the theater, they've been scared off. They are hoping that after the work is completed for the big opening Halloween night, that the bats will return for their usual feast. Our next story comes from the BBC in the UK. A pale blue box containing what are thought to be a dead person's ashes have been found at the Empire Theatre in Liverpool. The box was left in the auditorium after performance by medium Derek Acora, the former star of TV's Most Haunted. A member of the theater's staff found the box, which is yet to be claimed. A spokesperson from the Empire said it was an unusual item of lost property. The small box has the name of a well-known Liverpool funeral director printed on it. Staff believes its owner may not realize it's still at the theater. They think someone brought them along to see if Derek could get some reading off of them, but they are not sure how anyone could forget them. Of all the lost property the staff has come across, this is definitely one of their most unusual. Our last story comes from SalemNews.com. Looks like times are getting tough in Salem, Mass. Ed Berman will soon become the city's largest blood donor, but not everybody's thanking him. The owner of Tropical Products, which manufactures shampoos, hand sanitizers, and moisturizers on Highland Avenue, heard about the school department's financial crisis and offered to make his own unique donation to the city, fake blood. That's right, the company is donating more than 25,000 4-ounce bottles of costume blood to help the Witch City get tourists into the Halloween spirit. Starting this summer, the city will wholesale these mini bottles of blood to local shops, which will then market them to Halloween visitors. The label design is still being finalized, but one version contains the image of a witch riding on a broomstick and reads, Haunted Happening Salem Mass Costume Blood. The money raised, which could be between $25,000 and $40,000, will be reinvested into the marketing and promotion of Salem and haunted happenings. The city is embracing Berman's gory gift, but some critics see it as nothing more than, well, blood money. It looks like real blood, says Berman. It's a nice deep red and is kind of shiny looking. This is our way that we can donate, and these guys can make a ton of money. Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parax.news@aol.com. You can listen to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio at www.ghostlytalk.com. Please check out their other fine shows. Or you can join us at paranormalnews.mypodcast.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Vent.
Don't be caught bored waiting for something to go bump in the night. Listen to the Paranormal Broadcast System with Brad, Brandon, Todd, and Paul.
Well, hello, Mr. Phantom Man.
Listen to some great interviews with some amazing guests that run the gamut from ghost hunting groups across the country to paranormal personalities in the media. First, let's be serious for a moment. Then let's have some fun! We've got it all covered. Tune in and listen to intriguing interviews with our hosts from L.A. Spirits and the Louisiana Spectral Research Center. Then kick back and listen to us try to be funny with some crazy Cajun. And some other guys, too. This is no kids show, folks. It's the Paranormal Broadcast System. Listen to us poke fun at ourselves. It's funnier that way. You can find us at www.laghosts.com. That's www.laghost.com.
Are invoking the spirits to help you. But the forces they represent are so sinister and powerful, you shall be a toy in their hands.
Not a stranger to Ghostly Talk, Thomas D'Agostino has been adventuring in and investigating paranormal phenomena for 25 years. His journeys throughout New England are akin to those of Hawthorne, Lovecraft, Thoreau, Snow, Baxter, and other such great literary legends. As paranormal investigators, Thomas has created a coalition of the best ghost hunters in his region.
I want to hear about that.
And will soon be hosting paranormal investigations in certain haunted places throughout Rhode Island. His Satan Space website is myspace.com/TomArlene, that's TomArlene. And having been a repeat guest, he, of course, already has a permanent link
yes.
up at ghostlytalk.com. Thomas, welcome back to Ghostly Talk.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you back on. And when I got the, it comes up again on this show, you know. We always like to tell people kind of how we do things, you know, in the back scene, in the background, or you know, behind the scenes.
Yes,
like
this is so complex.
Like this is some major. Well, it is kind of nowadays. I mean, there's so much
nowadays
crap going
a lot
on.
More, yeah.
You know, to do it the right way, you gotta really do all this weird stuff. But you know, I always, you know, for the guests, we always send, you know, hey, a couple things. What do you want to talk about? You know. And when I got the list of this stuff, I was like, whoa, how cool is this? You know. So I think we should just dive right into it. Because
I want to skip right down.
Oh, you want, okay, yeah. All right, go for it, man. Go for it.
I read what, you know, you've got a book out, Pirate Ghosts and Phantom Ships.
Oh, yeah.
I have to talk about that, Thomas, because we're obviously from Detroit. A lot of people know that, and those of you who are just tuning in to Ghost Talk for the
Sorry
first time,
about that.
Welcome. But
and our condolences.
Yeah. Welcome, but no.
Why?
You know, we're in the Detroit area,
yeah.
And therefore we've got the Great Lakes.
Lots of water around us.
Lots
Thomas.
And lots, and there's just fascinating legends. Of course, the Great Lakes is freshwater lakes. It's
yep.
they're lakes, not an ocean. Things like that. So what I'm wondering, Tom, because this is one of my passions, is maritime ghost ships and
yeah.
lighthouse ghosts and things like that. What was it like investigating all the stuff for this book? And tell me about that book, Pirate Ghosts and Phantom Ships.
Yes, it is a book on all the ghost ships and strange things that have happened, mostly in New England, but it does stretch down to the Lower Eastern Seaboard. And it's also about the ghosts of pirates that have been seen, you know, in all these different places. A lot of people write about the pirates' lives, so I said, hey, let me write about their afterlives, because they seem to be just as busy now as they were back then.
Because you've got, like, you know, I mean, there's famous pirates, Blackbeard.
Oh, yeah, all the famous guys.
And, you know, but tease me with a pirate story. I want a teaser.
Okay, well, I do have the one that has a Blackbeard was supposedly killed. It was, you know, Teach's Hole on Ocracoke Island, South Carolina.
Yep.
And his ghost is supposedly seen there. But it's also supposedly seen in the Isles of Shoals, and that's in New Hampshire and Maine. And his bride, whom he left behind, I think it was like the 15th or 16th bride that he had. After the honeymoon, he left. Yeah, he was pretty busy.
He's a lot busier than I am. I can't even, you know, I'm looking for one.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a bride, but I'm looking for, you know, just anything. And wow, he really... He had his game going on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he was a pirate, man. Come
well,
on.
That's true. You can't be much cooler than a pirate.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to rush straight off the topic too much, Thomas.
I'm just like a computer geek and a talk show host. So
yeah.
This is not way up there on the cool factor. Yeah.
Well, I often like look at my life, right? I do this. I go, you know, am I cool or am I not cool?
And you don't start it with R.
Well, no, I don't.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah.
Well, you do start with R. Or if your computer fries.
Well, yeah, you know,
yeah, that's true. Yeah,
you know, they're in our business. There are the national. I don't even know the holidays. There's the National R Day. You have to say that all the
yes,
time for piracy and stuff like that. But so I guess in a certain way, we're kind of related to the pirate genre in the geek sense, not the cool pirate sense.
Right, not the cool like you know bird toting.
Yeah,
you know striped legged wearing.
Or the pocket protector wearing.
Yeah,
you know. And Linux loving, you know, dorks out there who keep the IT world running, right? So there is a big difference, but there are certain things. But okay, whatever.
But yeah, right, pirates. I mean, you what a cool pirate! All right, so 15,
Blackbeard, yeah, he's
17th wife. He left her.
Yeah, he's very busy. And okay, sorry, we didn't mean to cut you off. What happened after that?
The ghost of his wife supposedly still roams the Isles of Shoals. And saying he will return. Now, some say it's also the ghost of Sandy Gordon's wife, who was a pirate with him. They both got married at the same time at the Isles.
Okay.
And he was blown to bits just shy of the Isles and the Shoals when I guess his ship tried to run and fought with a few other ships. And Blackbeard ended up down in, the South Carolinas. I also got a really good one about the Widder, which is... Sam Bellamy's ship.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the story of Sam Bellamy, who's seen on the beach. The ship crashed only about 1,500 yards from the beach, and they have actually found over 200,000 coins and remains of people and things from the ship.
Oh, wow. So they actually, I mean, they have, there's evidence of this then. I mean, they found, I mean, maybe
not. Oh, yeah, they dive at it, yeah.
What?
I have a friend, Matt Moniz, who has dived in there.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Has he found any mementos himself?
Yeah,
or
he has.
Wow.
He's got a few little things. They actually found a leg bone with a shoe, and they thought it was a small pirate, but it was actually an 11-year-old boy, the youngest pirate in history, and they know who he is and all that.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Well, children were pirates.
Yeah,
too.
That they is
were
true. Sure. Yeah. I read Treasure Island, so.
One of the best stories is Dungeon Rock. It's not even anywhere near the water. It's in Lynn, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And a pirate, Thomas Veal, actually, they were being chased, and they went to hide out. And he actually hid in the rock and lived there for a while. And the earthquake of 1658 sealed the rock with it, supposedly with his treasure. And a few people tried to blast through, but it wasn't until 1800s when Hiram Marble, on some sort of spiritualistic, voices, went there saying that Thomas Veal was going to lead him to the treasure. He spent his whole life blasting over 200 feet down into the earth with his son, trying to find his treasure.
That
on the words of Tom Veal.
Oh my God! Now I don't think
he never found it.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't think he did. He find anything?
Yeah, I think he probably should have.
That's worse than like Oak Island. You know, we've talked about Oak Island way back
Oak
in the day.
Island, yeah.
Have you ever heard of Oak Island before, Thomas?
No.
It's this island where they've got. Is that
well,
the
it's
one
up
where
by
they,
Nova Scotia, actually.
And then the treasure or whatever is buried, but it keeps flooding whenever
well,
you go down there.
What
or
they
is
what
that
they
a
did,
one?
You know. And,
I heard about that. Yeah.
What they what the thing and this we talked about this like 400 years ago on the show. So
yeah,
I'll refresh
a long here. Time ago.
This is one of the things that one of the more notable things, and this you kind of high leveled it.
Yeah.
What they did is they suspect there's treasure buried in this island, right? So people have been digging there since the turn of the 20th century, trying to find, whatever the treasure may be. Now whoever they don't know, they have no idea, you know, who left the treasure or who was there or anything like that. But what they do know, what they have experienced, is that whoever buried or was there, they designed a plumbing system, more or less, a piping system from the border of the island where you hit shore, right? They ran piping from the border of the island that ran seawater into the island itself, up to the point where up to where they've been digging at and stuff like that. It's kind of hard to describe. What would happen essentially is they would dig, right? They'd dig and dig and dig. And what was going on is they'd hit a certain point and they'd basically break these pipes, which would send seawater rushing into the hole they're digging in, right? And people actually drown trying.
Oh, yeah.
Because they couldn't. You have the sea pushing on you, right?
The
water pressure, you can't stop it.
Yeah,
right?
you can't win. You can be the best swimmer in the world, and you be, you know, Ian.
Yeah,
the torpedo.
People die trying to get in there. I mean, and that's just one of the stories.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stories about. I'm sorry that just came up, and I had to mention that. But it's an interesting story, also, though, Thomas.
But and the ships of are these, you know, pirate ships or these phantom ships? Are they the ships of war? Are
yeah.
they ships of country ships
some,
or merchants?
Some were pirate ships, and some were phantom ships. Some were what you call ships of war, letters of mark.
Mm-hmm.
And some, there's a couple of cases where the ships grounded onto shore with absolutely nobody on them. No sign or no trace of the people. In one case in Newport, there was breakfast on the table, a kettle boiling on the stove, the wood stove.
Okay.
And the ship grounded and was completely empty, except for a dog and a cat.
See, that's my...
Found any traces.
That to
wait,
me...
So this is a real ship, though. We're talking a real ship that grounded. And
yeah,
the people,
a real ship.
The people...
Seabird, yeah.
Yeah, and the people find... When they go on the ship, hey, what's this thing? You know, there's a ship grounded. They go up there and they find, like, looks like it has been inhabited, like, very, very recently. And the people, the crew, seems like they've just disappeared then. That's what I'm getting here.
The crew, passengers, everything. Whoever was on the ship is gone. This is, you know, very... And I have to say, one of the things that totally fascinates me is, you know, the Mary Celeste and, you know, different ships like that.
Yeah.
Those are obviously more... well, Mary Celeste, I think, is more English, or that it was sailing into an English harbor.
Yeah, Bering.
But here in the U.S., there were ships that grounded like this that just... were equally as puzzling then.
Thomas.
Right, yes.
Go ahead, what were you going to say?
Oh, the Carol Daring is one of them that they found. The ship is just strange. I think it may have been taken over by someone, or the crew mutinied, or something happened, but the ship was seen near the South Carolina light ship, and then it seemed to take 8 days to go, like 80 miles or something like that, when it should have been, you know, up the East Coast by then.
Uh-huh.
And they just found it stranded and not a single person aboard.
Well, now, and this is, okay, I'm going to, one of you guys, Doug or Thomas, tell me if I'm crazy or not, because we've had experiences with haunted properties, okay,
mm-hmm.
where we've been to play, and this still
perplexes
me to this day.
Absolutely true, yeah.
This perplexes me to this day, because we've been to some places, you know, that are abandoned, right, and... We come there and find, you know, now this isn't quite as extreme as like a kettle still boiling or fresh food on the table, but we've been to some places that literally had just thousands of dollars of possessions still there, furniture, clothes, you know.
Right, and for example,
what once was food, but it's now rotting, right?
It's now,
but
yeah,
you know, it kind of follows the same storyline.
Well, it's the same thing with, you know, like Savage House. I think it's one of the
about. Good situation.
Still had a towel. This is after what, a dozen or more years.
Yeah,
still had a towel hanging over the curtain rod, the shower curtain rod, drying for 15 years or however long. Had, you know, some. Some dishes that were washed and some that were still, you know, in the sink.
Still in the sink,
washed.
Yeah.
But this is after 15 years, so this is obviously will never get washed now. Well, now it's been destroyed, but, I mean, it's just
it
like...
It still leaves the impression, like, what
like
the heck happened here?
And left.
Well, that happens frequently around here.
What the hell?
The old couple lived here, and their kids moved to Florida, and the old couple dies off, and the kids, you know, they're making $800,000 a year, and then... The house here is worth $150,000. They don't want to come back. They just wait and hold on to it or let it rot.
Well, and maybe that's one explanation, but it's still, you know, and there is a bit of a relationship between the ships and the houses. But I'm wondering, you know, maybe what you think about this, though, too, Thomas.
Yeah, but if you abandon a ship.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a more extreme situation.
Yeah, where are you abandoning it to?
Okay.
If you abandon a ship, you must have the lifeboats or something. I mean, you land somewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
when it makes the news and everyone's asking about the ship, you'd be like, yeah, well, you know, we had to abandon it because we saw a sea monster. Or whatever. I mean, I don't know why you do it, but, you know, I mean.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Why do they abandon it? I mean, if there's food cooking, there's, you know, there's water, there's a kettle boiling.
Well,
it looks,
you know,
like things are going okay.
Like I discussed earlier, this is my my year of aliens and UFOs, and I think they were all abducted.
There you go.
And then the UFO couldn't find the ship.
Thomas, what do you think? I'm wondering what you think,
Well, some people do think that. That's a viable explanation.
Excellent.
Sometimes I could have been pirates, you know, like somebody mutinied or they pirated the ship, and they sneak out on a rowboat after killing and throwing everyone overboard. And they don't need the ship. The Princess Augusta, that's what happened to Palatine Light. I'm sure you've read about that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's what actually happened. They ransomed all the people's cash and money and those articles and all kinds of stuff and sold them food for exorbitant prices. And when people were starving to death and they had taken all their jewelry and money, because the captain died shortly after from water poisoning. They had, like, bad water.
Yeah.
So the crew just robbed the Palatinites. And then took off. Just disappeared.
And just left the ship floating.
At the end of it, the ship ran aground.
Just let it float. So, I mean, those are ways to explain that. I mean, yeah, it could be UFOs.
Well, with a few of these stories, they have no clue. They can't even say pirates because there's just absolutely no... People saw the ship and they never saw anything else.
It's still perplexing. Still,
one of my favorite stories of the Great Lakes is, I think it's called the Hudson, and it's where there's a fisherman, and his fisherman friend. I don't know what they are, but anyway, there's two guys in a boat fishing.
He's
boat.
Assistant fisherman.
And they're like, we gotta get this net in, and then we're gonna get it in, and we're gonna go because I see a storm a brewing, right, or whatever. I don't know how they talk, but anyway, but the fog is rolling in, and it's getting foggy, and they can hardly see anything in front of them. Mm-hmm. But they finally, you know, get the net in, and then they look, and there's this hulk, this dark hulk of a great ship, right?
And
right in front of them, and they're like, I wonder what's going on. It's kind of, you know, dingy.
It was the Black Pearl, wasn't it?
It was close. No, it was dingy. Who would take care of this? It's disgusting. I can't
Jack
believe
Sparrow hops out.
I can't believe anybody would let a ship of this greatness, go to waste like this, or get all dirty and dingy. I don't know what's up with that. I'm going to go. And they board her, right? Yeah. One of them boards the ship. Goes up to the forecastle or whatever, forecastle, I don't know how you pronounce it, it's FO castle.
Yeah.
And goes up to that and he sees these emaciated, disgusting looking people. He's like, what's going on here? And one of them turns and looks at him and says, you better get off this ship. Do you know what ship this is?
Mm.
And he goes, what ship is this? This is the Hudson, which, of course, then sends shivers down his spine because the Hudson had sank, like, many, many, many years ago.
Gross.
And so he's like, eek, and then he runs back and
goes back
never,
to fishing.
Yeah, goes and finishes the day and then goes in and, you know, eats the fish. But no, that kind of story sends shivers down my spine. So after, we have to go to break, right?
In a couple seconds. Here,
okay,
yeah.
Totally.
We got a few minutes.
Oh, we got a few minutes?
We got a couple minutes, yeah.
Do we have any encounters where people have
anything similar to that?
And where people have run across the ship and either interacted with it or took a photo of it or talked about
an actual encounter with the Dash, which was one of the fastest ships in the War of 1812.
Uh-huh. Wow!
It took many prizes from the British, and during World War One, a ship was entered the waters up near Nova Scotia. And at that time, we had, of course, the British were on our side, and there were patrol ships and everything rolling around the harbor. And they told the ship to, you know, identify itself, and the ship wouldn't identify itself, and it was an old sailing vessel. So they started firing at it, and the cannonballs, the big guns there, their ammo went right through it.
Oh!
And as it rounded a corner of Pumpkin Nub, a guy named Horace Grimm, yes, that was his name.
What? Horace Grimm, what a great name for October.
He was picnicking on Pumpkin Nub. And he noticed it, and then so did the other people, the soldiers who were firing at the ship. As it got closer, the firing just stopped dead, because on the side of the ship, they saw the name, the Dash.
Oh, my goodness.
And then the ship just disappeared into this big cloud of smoke from all the ammo and firing at it, and that was it.
Oh, my goodness.
So they actually fired upon a ship.
And it went right through it. The ammo went right through
it. Wasn't even there.
Went right through it.
Yeah, they actually fired on it. And this is a few ships.
It sounds like there's a sail in aisle 2 behind
you. No, wait, hang on.
What?
That's the Addams Family theme, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's my cell phone.
Okay, you got points for that. I think that is awesome. That is totally cool. The Addams Family theme on your cell phone ringer. I love it.
Oh, well, sorry. It's like the Addams Family house. So
it sounded familiar. But we got to go to break here in a couple seconds. But I did want to ask you. You know, we hear about people seeing seeing people, dead people, right? We see ghosts. We call them ghosts, we call them spirits, entities, whatever, there's a million names for them. People, I was walking down, you know, in this house, and I saw the spirit of something walking down the hallway. And what we're talking about here is something completely different. We're seeing apparitions of a structure.
Well, that's
a floating
structure.
And I think that's something that really needs to be looked at, too, because, you know, people can be haunted, obviously. We've talked to several of them on this show over the last 800 years.
That's true.
And it's like, things, you know, we've heard of haunted things. We've talked to John Nappas a gazillion times.
Paranormal Museum, go.
Things are haunted, but it seems like this is a big thing. And
this
it's
just a huge thing, yeah. Well,
there's
also
energy.
But there's also, houses that appear and disappear. There's a story of a house in South Bend that appears and disappears. South Bend, Indiana.
Yeah, there's a big factory that used to appear and disappear, both in two of them in Massachusetts.
Really?
We're going to find out about that in a
minute. Let's talk more about that.
So your book is Pirate Ghosts and Phantom Ships. Of course, I latched onto that, Thomas. I'm sorry, but that's just really, really one of my passions. And but we're going to go to break. Everybody queue up myspace.com/TomArlene. That's T-O-M-A.
Actually, I got a new website.
You got a new website? Oh, let's hear it.
It's N-E-P-U-R-S, N-E-P-U-R-S dot info.
N-E-T-U-R-S. Dot info. Okay, everybody, cue that up while we're on break.
Yeah,
I couldn't find that. I was trying to find something else. I should have fired you an email. Sorry,
that
Thomas.
We just got that going.
Oh, okay. So the other day. So N-E-T-U-R-S.
N-E-T is in Tom, U-R-S?
Yeah, N-E like New England.
Okay.
And then P like Prizzy.
Oh, okay.
Patriot. N-U-R-S. Paranormal United Research Society.
Okay, N-E-P.
So the New England Paranormal United Research Society, N-E-P-U-R-S.
Neepers.
Is it .net or .com?
.info.
.info. Perfect.
Yeah.
I got it.
Check that out while we're on the break. Neepers.info. There you go.
There
you
go.
We'll be right back to this, talking more about, we're going to talk about other stuff too, but we're really, you did latch on.
But we're definitely in New England for this hour.
Oh, yes,
we are. Thomas D'Agostino.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.